something is sudden. If you stick to the word, you will come back with a testimony. What God wants to give you in your life is not a healing. What God wants to give you in your life is not a job. What God wants to give you in your life is not money. What God wants to give you is the word of God in your spirit. It'll make you what it talks about. And you are shining. And you are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining and nothing can stop you. It is your season. It is your time. Nothing can hinder you. This is your time. This is your hour. Favor is yours.
Wherever you are, whatever you speak, C-Tunes brings the gospel to you from English to Swahili, French to Arabic, Spanish to Hindi, Portuguese to Mandarin. The message of faith and salvation is breaking barriers. With C-Tunes, you gain access to over 250 leveled radio stations like Leveled Radio Iran, Leveled Radio Ukraine, Leveled Radio South Africa, Leveled Greece, and many more. Participate in every global ministry program in the language you best understand. Stay connected with motivational podcasts from our inspiring on-air personalities and enjoy music that uplifts, inspires, and energizes. Log on to www.ctunes.org or download the app from the Leveled App Store. For further inquiries, please call +234-813-180-9663.
This message is titled Christ Consciousness.
Hallelujah. So I'll begin sharing from this week on a very important subject, which I have titled Christ Consciousness. Christ Consciousness. I think it's very important for us to understand the way God wants us to think. And the life that he wants us to live. Most Christians, sadly, have never been taught the Word of God. Most don't understand the Scriptures because they've never given it much time, much attention. But God says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, the lack of revelation knowledge. A lot of Christians know a lot of things. There are many professors among Christians. Many erudite scholars among Christians. But sadly, a lot of them have never given attention to the Scriptures. And so are ignorant of the word. I want us to learn something of Christ consciousness. What do you mean by Christ? Talk to me. What is Christ? Who is Christ? You're not sure what answer I want. Why don't you give me what you think? Tell me what you know. Don't try to tell me what you think I might want. Who is Christ? I think the answer to who is Christ and what is Christ are two different things. But who is Christ? Who is Christ? Wonderful. Hello. Who is Christ? I know what you said. Who is Christ? The anointed one. Yes. Who is Christ? Christ is the Son of God. Who is Christ? Jesus and his church. Christ is the Son of God. And who is this Son of God? Jesus and his church. Let me just give you a little bit of that in Book of Ephesians, chapter number 4. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. I want to read to you from verse 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Have you seen that? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come, did you notice? For the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Did you see that? He says for the church to become a perfect man unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. To become a full-grown man, that's what he's talking about. Jesus Christ is the head, the church is his body. And the head and the body have the same name, Christ. That's what the Bible says, that the church is Christ. Jesus is Christ. The church is Christ. Because we are in Christ. So the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 30, we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Praise God. Now, but what I just read to you is amazing. Amazing verse of the Bible. What I just read to you in Ephesians chapter 4, amazing. I wasn't intending reading that to you, but since we've gotten there, let's look at it. Extraordinary. I'm going to read again from verse 11 to verse 12, and I want you to understand it. And he gave, so I'm talking about Jesus when it says he gave gifts to men, okay? So in verse 11 it says, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. To perfect the saints or the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ. Okay? So he says to train the body of Christ, to edify the body of Christ, to bring the body of Christ up. What is God's purpose? Why does he want us to be brought up? Why does he want us to be trained? Why does he want us to be edified? He tells us in the 13th verse, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. He wants to bring us into a knowledge of the Son of God. Unto a perfect man. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, he's bringing us into the fullness of Christ. The fullness of his understanding, the fullness of his wisdom, the fullness of his glory. Oh, dear, dear, dear. My. Oh, what a purpose. No wonder John said something. John said, turn to St. John's Gospel. Let me show that to you. St. John's Gospel, chapter 1. My goodness. Oh. Read verse 16 for me. Oh, what a great verse of the Bible. I don't know whether you've ever taken time to meditate on that. Powerful. He says, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. King James says grace for grace. You know, the margin says grace heaped upon grace. Now, the big part of it is, he says, of his fullness have all we received. Ah. I'm getting blessed already. I haven't even gotten into the message. You know, I'm getting, just to think of all this. He says, of his fullness have all we received. Let me explain so you can understand. When he says of his fullness, he's saying, of all of what he's got, that fills him up. Everything of deity that is in him, everything that he's got of his fullness. Here he's not dealing with just a measure. He's dealing with content in terms of quality. He's dealing with content in terms of the severality of potentialities in him. All of his powers, all of his glory, all of his wisdom, everything that he represents, everything that is contained in him. You remember what he said about his father and himself? He said, as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life, inherent life in himself. In other words, he didn't need more life from God. He didn't need anything from God. As God was satisfied to be himself and had everything, to be dependent on nothing, he says, so has he given to the Son to be fully independent. He had inherent life. Now, everything else had to have life from God. Now, Jesus says, as the Father had life in himself, he gave the right, the power to the Son to have life in himself. Now, he tells us in this 16th verse of the first chapter of St. John's Gospel, of his fullness. Of all that he's got. Of all that he's got. We have received, meaning I've received of his ability, I've received of his wisdom, I've received of his knowledge, I've received of his glory, everything that makes him who he is, I have received. So he says, and grace heaped upon grace. Wow. I'm talking Christ consciousness. You see, why was Jesus the way he was? You know, one day he was with his disciples, and water was getting in, the waves were boisterous. The water was getting into the boat, and Jesus had been sleeping at the rail. So they said, Master, don't you care that we perish? And he got up and said, peace. And the waves calmed down, and the wind calmed down. They looked at him. and looked at themselves, and they said, what manner of man is this, that the winds and the sea obey him? What was Jesus like? Why was he the way he was? Somebody said, well, because he was the Son of God. That's not the reason. Turn to the book of Hebrews. Chapter 2. You know, sometimes if we don't read, if we don't study the scriptures, we lose too much. Hebrews chapter 2, let me begin reading from verse 11 for you. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. Did you see that? For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Now that's powerful. I want you to look at, let me read to you from verse 7. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels, for thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Verse 12, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church, and I'll sing unto thee. And again I'll put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. Oh, look at verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetimes subject to bondage. Look at verse 16. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Now all the scriptures we just read, what are they telling us? That Jesus did not minister as the Son of God, but as the Son of Man. He lived and functioned as a man. Not in his glory as the Son of God. That was to let us know that whatever he did, men could do. Are you getting it? So when you read about Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, don't think of someone who lived in such a way that nobody could do what he did. No. He came to represent man. He came to live the way a man should live. He came to show us an example that we should follow his steps. He came to let us know we could act like him, think like him, talk like him, and win like him. So why did he live in such mastery? How come he was so successful? He thought the right thought. He said the right word. He did the right thing. He went to the right place. Why? He was fearless. Absolutely fearless. How could a man be so fearless? He had no consciousness of lack. He had no consciousness of need. How could it be that way? What manner of man was Jesus? He must have been conscious of something that others didn't know. He must have had a consciousness that others didn't have. You get it? There must have been something that Jesus knew that others didn't know. Oh, glory to God. Oh, think about it. Think about it. What a consciousness. He said, I am from above. How did he know? Why did he think that way? We read that he was born in a manger. We read that he was born of Mary. We read that he grew up as a little boy like everybody else. We read that he was hungry, that he felt sleepy and slept. We read it. He drank water. He ate food like others. He got tired. It's just like the Bible talks about Elijah when he says to us, Elijah was a man of like passions as we are. I love the way James put it. He said, Elijah was a man of like passions as we are. In other words, Elijah felt like us. He wasn't any different. He felt like us. Then he says, but Elijah prayed. And when he prayed, the heavens were shut that there was no rain for 3.5 years. And then he prayed again and the heavens gave rain, letting us know we could do what Elijah did. He said Elijah was just like us. Hallelujah. And that's what Paul is telling us now in the book of Hebrews, that Jesus was just like us. He says, he that sanctifies and they which are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. He says, I and the children which God has given me. He says, verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on the seed of Abraham.
We trust that you are blessed by the message you just listened to. We invite you to make Jesus the Lord of your life by saying this prayer. Oh Lord God, I believe with all my heart in Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. I believe he died for me, and God raised him from the dead. I believe he's alive today. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life from this day. Through him and in his name, I have eternal life. I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I am now a child of God. Hallelujah.